At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's lovely to be with you. Shall I begin our time with a prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that as we gather as a church family and as we look at your word, that you are so kind that you would speak to us, and please give us attentive hearts and minds as we hear what you have to say this afternoon. Amen. When I was told I was going to be preaching on Mary's song, I don't really know what I was expecting to find that she was singing about, but it wasn't this. It was that shouldn't be surprising, because Mary and I, we do live quite different lives. For example, I'm not a teenage girl. I'm not pregnant. I'm certainly not carrying the long-awaited Messiah. Her life is a bit different from mine. But if you had asked me, well, what is Mary going to sing about at this point in the story? Well, I'd have said she's going to sing about babies or motherhood. She's going to sing about something sweet, something nice, that sort of thing. But actually, that's not what she sings about at all, is it? Just take another glance over that passage that we've just had read for us. Look at her song. There is nothing to do with babies in there. If you just found this song on its own, you wouldn't think it had anything to do with Christmas. It's not Christmassy at all. She's not looking forward, as she sings, to the little Lord Jesus and laying down his sweet head. She's not anticipating some sweet, cuddly child and choosing the cloth that she will wrap him in. No, actually, what she sings about is a faithful God of revolutions. Do you see? Actually, she's singing about politics, really. Verse 52, he's gonna tear down rulers and lift up the humble. Verse 53, he's sending the rich away empty, but he's filling the hungry with good things. You see, as Mary sings this song, she's not excited to be picking out curtains for her nursery. She's much more like, actually, a first century Greta Thunberg, a teenage girl with a huge message that she's going to shout about. A message that actually looks forward to a day when things will be fundamentally different and fundamentally better. And she sings, she rejoices, because she sees, she knows, she's been told that God is at work, that the revolution has started, because God is truly faithful, and through her, he's in the business right now of keeping all of his promises. She's excited as she sings, because these promises are literally revolutionary. The revolution is starting, promises are being kept, prophecies will be fulfilled. And when it happens, well, everything will change. Look down at verses 51 to 53 again. See, this is dictators being dethroned, billionaires bankrupted, the arrogant abrogated, the proud put down. And Mary is utterly convinced that when that happens, it's going to be a great thing. That will be a great day. But actually, before we get too caught up in what Mary is singing about, I thought it would be good for us to just remind ourselves why it is that Mary's singing. What's the kind of situation? I imagine lots of us are familiar with the story. We meet Mary, she's minding her own business, and bam, an angel appears, announces that she is pregnant and going to have a baby, which is, to put it mildly, surprising for Mary, I imagine, given that she's a virgin. It's also quite inconvenient, I think, in a culture where unmarried mothers and premarital sex are not exactly approved of. But as the angel Gabriel announces this to her, he offers her a sign. And actually, I think I've always read this wrongly before. So look back to verse 36. The angel tells Mary that her relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. And I've always assumed that what Gabriel's doing here is he's kind of saying, look, you already know, Mary, that your cousin's had this miraculous pregnancy, and now something equally miraculous, or more miraculous even, is happening in you. But that's not what's going on here. This is new news to Mary that Gabriel announces. That's why in verse 39, the start of the reading we had read out to us, she's hurrying off to see Elizabeth. She's got to check it out. She's got to find out, is it really true what the angel has said? Is Elizabeth really pregnant after all? And as she arrives, as the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb, as Mary sees that what the angel says was true, well, that's when she sings. Because truly, God is the faithful God of revolutions. She sings because she realizes, actually, verse 37, no word of God will ever fail. She is the one, verse 45, who is blessed because she believes the Lord really will fulfill his every promise to her. And as we look into this song kind of in more detail now and look at kind of the content of what she's singing about, well, Mary basically sings about two things. She sings of who God is and what God has done. She thinks that he is the faithful God, that's who he is, and revolution is what he is about. And friends, isn't that a wonderful thing to kind of stop and to think about at Christmas time? Because who God is and what God is doing and has done, that is what Christmas is all about. The Lord Jesus, as he comes into the world, he comes to make God fully known, to reveal what God is like to us. And he comes actually to act, to be that revolutionary rescuer, hero and king. So that's how we'll think about things this afternoon. And firstly, we're going to look at how we sing because of who God is. I don't know if you've ever thought about singing all that much, but singing is definitely an emotional thing, isn't it? We don't sing about the mundane. We don't sing about doing the washing up. But we do sing about love. We sing about kind of hurt and pain. We sing about stuff that matters. And it's wonderful, isn't it, that again and again in the Bible, we find songs and we find stories. You see, when God wanted to show us what he's like, he didn't bring out some giant theological textbook for us to read. Now, let me be clear. I love theology. Big books like this are really helpful. But it would be a bit less exciting to read chapters on God's communicable and his incommunicable attributes, to be asked to remember things about the hypostatic union or his impassibility. Like, it's what textbooks, theology is great, but that's not what God gives us when he wants to show us what he's like. He gives us songs and he gives us stories because the truths in this book, they're emotionally engaging. And the reason, actually, they're emotionally engaging is because the God we find in the pages of Scripture, who is the hero of this book, he is emotionally engaging because he is so utterly wonderful. When we catch a glimpse of his character, it makes us want to sing. And that's what happens with Mary here. Verses 46 and 47, she's rejoicing because of who God is. She sings first because he's the saviour there, verse 47. Actually, not just a saviour, not any old saviour. First and foremost, she thinks, because he is her saviour. And look, if you're here this afternoon and you can call God your saviour personally, well, you really do have something to sing about, don't you? You know this already, don't you? But without him, we were lost, helpless, cut off. And yet he came near. And he saved. And he rescued. He is not distant. But he came as a saviour. So we can rejoice. And with Mary, not call him a saviour, but call him my saviour. Secondly, she sings, because God is mighty, verse 49. But again, he's not just mighty. She's not just saying that he is a bit strong. She calls him the mighty one. There is no one anywhere near as powerful as this God. And that kind of, it sounds really bland, doesn't it, to say, you know, God is strong. Like, well, yeah, it's kind of what it means to be God, isn't it, that he's quite powerful. But it's truly fantastic news that God is this powerful. Because it means that everything is under his control. Which means that actually nothing and nobody can thwart his plans. Nothing can make him ever break one of his promises. Which is the third main thing that Mary sings about and celebrates. The fact that he is faithful. That he is a promise-keeping God. Look at verses 54 and 55. He helps his servant. He remembers just as he said to our fathers. You see, in many ways, actually, God's actions in this passage with Mary, they're nothing new. He's not doing something out of the blue here. He is simply fulfilling the promises that he had made again and again and again, that one day he would send the rescuing king to his people. And again, as we kind of think about the fact that God is utterly faithful, it's great news for us today, isn't it? Because it means that every word that we read in this book can genuinely be relied upon. Because he's the mighty one and he is utterly, utterly faithful. And lastly, Mary sings because God is a God who uses his people, who includes his people in his plans. You see, what Mary does brilliantly here is she connects what's going on in her life with God's bigger plan of salvation. And you kind of think, well, it's all right for Mary, isn't it? She's in the Bible. We know she's significant. Actually, she gets an angel turning up to tell her how her story matches up with the rest of the story of the Bible. But when Mary sings, you know, that the Lord has done great things for her, well, she's not the only one that God's done great things for, is she? Do you know, God is in the business of building his kingdom then, and he's in the business of building his kingdom now, and he is not careless about that. He's not careless about the individuals that he chooses. Again, if you're here this afternoon and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not an accident. The only reason, in one sense, that you are here as a believer in the Lord Jesus is because this God, this mighty one, has acted in your life personally. He has chosen you, and he didn't make a mistake. He has included you in his great plan of bringing people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation together, united in the Lord Jesus. That's what the whole universe is about. And God is busy picking people and bringing them to be a part of his great, great plan. He is truly a great and a faithful God. And therefore, actually, it's no surprise that as we turn to look at what God is doing in the world, we find that what he's doing is awesome as well. And that's the second thing that Mary teaches us. We sing because of what he's doing, what God is doing. And what he's doing, essentially, is this. He is turning the world on its head. This is what the Lord Jesus does here, right? He flips everything upside down. That's what Mary's singing about. Verse 51, here is one who is scattering the proud. He's bringing down rulers from their thrones and lifting up the humble. He welcomes in and fills those who are hungry and sends the rich away empty. Everything's being turned on its head. We've said it before, it's a revolution where those with power and those with wealth are going to have it taken away from them. Because actually, do you know what? Ultimately, God isn't impressed with the number of followers you have, and he doesn't care about the numbers in your bank account. He is going to bring people down and he will raise others up. And I don't know about you, but even as I say that, I kind of feel a bit ambivalent about it. Because actually, in this country, you know, our politicians, they get a fair bit of stick, and I think I'm probably amongst the majority of people who are fairly frustrated with the political system in the UK right now, but for all that they get, the stick they get, it's not too bad a system, is it? Like, we get, they're accountable, we can vote them in and out. We're not calling for their heads or for their blood, are we? But imagine now for Mary living as a Jewish woman under Roman occupation. And it's quite a different story, isn't it? Or for our many Christian brothers and sisters around the world living under oppressive regimes where they're not allowed to meet like this. Actually, for people in those sorts of situations, this is a glorious hope, isn't it? Of wicked rulers torn down. The idea of a king who comes and turns politics on its head is a truly wonderful thought. And as we kind of think of this great king who's going to turn everything upside down, well, here's another one of the striking things about Mary's song here. Jesus, as she sings this, he is literally millimeters long, about the size of a grape, give or take. He's months away from even being born, and yet Mary is so convinced, actually, that God is the faithful God who keeps all of his promises, that she sings about all of these things in the past tense. Did you notice that? She sings as if they've already happened, which seems a bit premature, really, doesn't it? But it isn't, because of who God is. Because he is the faithful God of revolutions who keeps all of his promises, actually, Mary has confidence. Look back to verse 32, the first thing that the angel announced to her about this baby she's going to have. The angel says, he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. You see, Mary knows. God has said it. It will happen. The one true King of the universe is really, literally growing in her womb. And the reason that as he arrives, he must scatter the proud and bring down rulers from their thrones is that ultimately, there is room for only one king in this world. There ultimately is only one who is actually worthy to wield power. And when the Lord Jesus returns, and when this picture becomes a reality, when he comes to perform those mighty deeds and lift up the humble and fill those who are hungry, well, that will truly be a wonderful day. And that is why Christmas is incredible news. Because this king has already come. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was born in a stable in Bethlehem. And he was born there to start a revolution. Which is why it is so fitting that Mary is the one singing this song. As you think about her again, she's a teenager, engaged to a carpenter in some back corner of the Roman Empire. To her world's eyes, she's a nobody, right? She's got nothing going for her. And yet, God is a God who lifts up the humble and who fills the hungry. And therefore, all generations will call this girl, this nobody, they will call her blessed. Not because she's especially great, but because the Lord has done especially great things through her. But as we kind of come towards a close, it's probably worth asking the question at this point, well, how does any of this stuff change Christmas? Well, I think the main difference I hope this will make is that on Wednesday, we'll stop and think, what is really bringing us joy today? Is it the coming of this great king of revolutions who turns the world upside down? Or is it all that other stuff? You see, those other things that we often get excited about at Christmas, you know, the family coming over, the great food, the presents, all those things, they are great. Don't misunderstand me, they are fantastic. I'm excited about those. But they are the how we celebrate. They're not why we're celebrating. Let me say that again, get a couple of confused faces. The things that we do, the presents, the family, the feasting, all those things, they're great, but they are how we're celebrating. They're not the actual thing that we are celebrating themselves. And look, I know that actually on Wednesday, how we celebrate is going to look very different from person to person and from family to family. I mean, hopefully everybody here will be with people that they love on Christmas Day. Actually, if you're not, if your plans look like currently, you're going to be on your own. And you don't want to be. Please do ask me or one of the rest of the staff here at St Mary's. There's always people who are love having others and hosting them on days like Christmas. So please do mention that if that would be helpful for you. But whatever the specifics and kind of practicalities of what Christmas is going to look like on Wednesday, the what that we're celebrating ought to look exactly the same. And that is the same as what Mary is excited about in this song. On Wednesday, we're going to be celebrating who God is and what he has done. We're going to be celebrating the faithful God of revolutions. More than that, we're celebrating a revolution that's already started. As the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to earth and took on flesh to save us as our great rescuing king. And as you think about him as a king, it's slightly ironic, isn't it? I've not thought about this before. It's ironic that on Christmas Day, the day we celebrate the coming of the king, that's the day that we take to crown ourselves. Well, often lots of us will pull one of these on over our Christmas lunch. And to start with, I thought that was ironic and wrong, but then actually I thought about it. No, paper crowns are exactly the right thing to be wearing on Christmas Day. Because at some point after the meal, some people don't even put them on, but most people put them on. And at some point after the meal, we'll all do this. We'll take them off, scrumple them up, and we'll throw them away. And actually, paper crowns that are taken off and thrown away, well, that's what every single crown will ultimately be on the day that the Lord Jesus returns. There's a story, and I haven't been able to work out if it's true or not, but I'm going to tell it anyway, because it's a good story. Queen Victoria, at kind of the height of her powers, somebody who ruled over vast swathes of this globe, apparently sat down and was talking to one of her chaplains, and was kind of saying, talking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus, with the day that he will return. And she's supposed to have said something like this. She said, "I do hope that he will return in my lifetime, because nothing would give me greater joy than to take my crown and to hand it to the one to whom it truly belongs." Now, as I say, I don't know whether she actually said that, but as a sentiment, it's bang on, isn't it? Here's someone who gets that any kind of pretense of rule and power that we might have now is going to be got rid of when Jesus comes back. Actually, more than that, she's excited by that prospect. She's not trying to cling on to the power that she has now. She's looking forward to that day when her crown will be scrumpled up, paper crown, because she knows that the one who's coming is good. That actually he would do a much better job of ruling than she ever could. Friends, the faithful God of revolutions, he keeps all of his promises. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. At Christmas, we rejoice that he arrived. And no matter what your day is going to look like on Wednesday, you really can celebrate that fact, because this king who came once and will one day come again, he is good. He is fair. And when he comes to rule and to reign, it will be oh so glorious, and we will gladly throw away our little pretend paper crowns, because the good king, the rightful king, has come. And friends, my hope, my prayer for all of us this Christmas Day is that we'll be much more excited about this king than any of the other good stuff that will happen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your coming into this world to be a saviour and a rescuer. And please help us to be so excited on Wednesday about the fact that of who you are and what you came to do. Thank you that you are the faithful God of revolutions. And please help us amidst all the other stuff that will be going on and all the busyness of Christmas to really spend time thanking you for who you are and for all you have done. Amen.